In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents.
If you feel depressed and if you feel anxious and you feel confused, you know what? Welcome to the club.
Gazpacho, please.
Oh, my God.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Sayonara, sucka.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast for C-SPAN. Meet the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Today is Tuesday, September 20th, and I must continue to remark on how quickly the month has gone by. In 2 days, it's finally fall.
I feel like this year is blasted. I mean, we always talk about that, but it's true. I can't believe it's fall already.
I know.
I'm feeling
I know.
It. I
wore my first official, like, fall outfit, I feel, over the weekend.
That's an important marker.
It was like 80 degrees this weekend. Where'd you wear fall?
It had, it wasn't like a hot or warm outfit, but it had fall energy. We were dealing with fall colors. We were dealing with, there was leather, like there was fall textures involved.
Okay.
It was more of a fall vibe than actually what would be worn. Exactly.
Okay. Yes. Millie and I just came from an event with Supermajority where they sent us these suits, and it was actually cool enough to wear a suit jacket. We're going to publish an episode about it for you guys tomorrow, but they have a really cool initiative going on. So that's where we're coming from. Everybody, 45 people have asked us if we matched on purpose.
Yeah, we.
That would be very cute.
Today is Tuesday. No, it's just like it's Tuesdays. It's not Tuesdays we wear pink. It's Wednesdays.
Oh, that's a perfect justification for the episode to come out tomorrow.
Yeah. Otherwise.
But suit jacket as a gift is like, that's a whole other level.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole suit.
It's a whole suit. And they're by Argent.
It's a whole suit.
Yeah, they're the ones that did a...
Damn.
Yeah, you can, maybe you can still fill out the form.
Yeah, at least I think they reached out to you.
Okay. We'll see.
We'll try it again. DVD on Millie's too. Today's topics are not super light. So that's why we did have to chat about the weather quickly. But a headline that finally everybody is talking about. More than a million people were left without running water after Hurricane Fiona ripped through the Dominican Republic after devastating Puerto Rico earlier in the week. Literally every single one of Puerto Rico's residents were without power. And what we'll talk about later is that this is like not unusual. This is something that happens whether there's like a Category 3 storm or not. So just to zoom out for a moment, Puerto Rico was left in a blackout and now faces the worst devastation since Hurricane Maria in 2017, from which, of course, it has not fully recovered. I can't believe this, but today is the fifth anniversary to the day, I believe, or maybe last Tuesday was. This week was the fifth anniversary to the day of Hurricane Maria, which is still, when you're talking about issues in Puerto Rico, the kind of the top thing that comes up. And residents say that Fiona was a much more mild storm. However, it brought a lot more rain than Maria, which caused kind of like a different kind of devastation than the wind. And again, at least I've read from 1.2 to 1.5 million people without any electricity or water at all. And at least three people have died, although that's, I'm sure, you know, a conservative estimate. I mean, when we saw Jorge today, we're like, does your family not have water? And he was like, well, nobody has water. So no.
Yeah, no one has water or electricity.
Nobody's got
the
food.
Entire
and,
island.
You know, my reaction to this is always, this is America. This is a territory. But I was telling you all in our group chat, after seeing in Mississippi last week, this country just let its own people live without running water, which is a huge I don't think I have to explain what a big health hazard that is. It's not just not being able to have a drink of water and eating bottled waters. It affects everything. And obviously the electricity does as well. But it's just a chronic, it's such a terrible cherry on top of a chronic issue.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much that goes into what's happening and what's been happening in Puerto Rico. I mean, so many issues about environmental justice, which are things that we talked about a little bit when Raleigh was here. But like, you know, think about the communities we just pointed out who get left without running water. It's when a hurricane hits, even like a poor white community, they're not left without running water in this way, that or electricity in this way. And there are also a lot of issues around how just the entire island of Puerto Rico has been privatized in the aftermath of Maria, what was allowed to go on there, the fact that they only have one person supplying electricity and it's this company, and that's the same for their water. I actually recommended a book to Millie that I saw that you're reading that touches on kind of a lot of these issues.
Oh, amazing.
It's called Olga Dies Dreaming. It's by Xochi, I think is how you say her name. Xochi Gonzalez. Okay. Gonzalez. It's really, really good. And it touches on a lot of it's a novel, it's a fiction story, but it talks a lot about what has happened in Puerto Rico and exactly how this privatization has played out and harmed people. Millie also was talking in our group chat about the Bad Bunny music video that literally just came out, where he goes into all of these issues as well, how real Puerto Ricans are being pushed out in favor of like these developers who just literally buy generators for themselves. It's like, there are really layered issues at play in what's happening in Puerto Rico.
Yes, like, just to piggyback off everything Elise said, like, obviously, people like to see climate change and climate issues as just something that a bunch of white liberals care about, and it's about Teslas and all that stuff, when, like, environmental justice, racial justice, climate change, like, those are all interconnected. And people of color will bear the brunt of a lot of the effects of what's going on and will not be protected in the same way. Like, that's like what we're seeing now. And specifically, like with the Bad Bunny thing, you know, I was talking about like what I really respect about Bad Bunny as an artist. We talk a lot about people who use their platform, and we try to use their platform not just to advance themselves, but to advance a cause. But the way that Bad Bunny has been consistently talking about this, and it's not just that he mentioned it in the music video, is that the music video is actually 22 minutes long. And for 19 of those minutes, it's about, it's an investigative report, basically, about all the things that are going on. And what's really interesting is that Puerto Rico's way to combat like the devastation and the economic loss that was faced, you know, from the U.S. divesting, all these people divesting, was to give a tax break to, so basically, white people are going from America and buying a property in Puerto Rico, getting rid of like they've closed 600 schools in the past 10 years, Jesus. Like really crazy things. Logan Paul, specifically, Logan Paul's a big figure in this music video. He bought property in Puerto Rico. Whoa. There's a bunch of blogs of white people from Indiana, from Ohio, that are like, go to Puerto Rico and invest property and you can flip it and kick all these people out and stuff. And like that all, and then they get generators for themselves, or they build condos on public beaches, stuff like that. It's a lot of issues, just like, you know, with any tragedy these days. It's not just, I just keep thinking about the Uvalde shooting, which is like, that was one tragedy, but in it was involved with like 15 or 16 different like social issues, like mental health care, this and that, whatever. And yeah, we're really seeing like the culmination. And it's just crazy that it was like 5 years to the day. The book that I'm reading is great, that Elise recommended. And yeah, like literally, Bad Bunny, who is the most streamed artist in the world, just released something like a week ago, you know?
And it's called The Blackout, right?
And El Apagón, which it's called The Blackout. And it's about all these issues. So I really encourage you. It's really good. I love the song, first of all, because it's basically like the chorus is like, I love Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico's like the shit. And also like, I don't want to have to leave. Make them leave, you know? But in the middle of the song, there is like a blackout in the middle. Anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, cause it's like, it starts dancing, and in the middle, you could hear like the generators like,
dzz.
Yeah. So it's like, but anyway, really sad. I mean, obviously Dominican Republic, is going through many of their own issues, but I guess the reason that it's different is that Dominican Republic is its own sovereign government. We have our own elected officials. We have our own Congress. Yeah, in many ways. Yeah. But you know, Puerto Rico is a territory. You know, this is like, it's like a Hawaii or Guam or something. So that is also why, you know, Puerto Rican people are American citizens. So yeah, it's really interesting.
I really enjoyed the tweets that were pointing out, you know, how fixated a lot of American audiences were on the Queen of England, but like Puerto Rico, like San Juan is actually part of America.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, I mean, this is a chronic, the blackouts, and we were talking to her about this, is a chronic thing. I mean, this blackout happened before the storm even hit. Mm-hmm. A blackout happened while the governor was explaining, you know, what to prepare for Fiona, and that is due, it seems, in part, because of the privatization. I think it is in the last year or so, it shifted over to Luma, a new company. And this just seems to happen all the time. They are supported by Puerto Rico's pro-statehood government. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of conversations there, obviously, among residents about what is best for them as residents there. And obviously, like, I don't understand why the billions that Congress allocated is so slow to get there, but everything I read keeps saying it's slow. Mm-hmm. It's been delayed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's delayed getting there or if it's delayed. It's being delayed to like put into like start projects in Puerto Rico. But for example, there were bridges, a bridge that was built after Maria came apart during Fiona. Mm-hmm. So like what's going on?
What did you build? Like for real.
Well, I think so, to the earlier point, right, is like on one end, like the government is very corrupt, but on the other end, like when we privatization is not the thing that saves us. And I think that's what a lot of people think, you know. That's literally what the Puerto Rican government is trying to do with all these tax breaks to quote unquote get in more money into the island. It's like, who's benefiting from that? If you don't have basic services, and then some services shouldn't be privatized. Electricity, you know, again, which is what they talk about in the documentary that Bad Bunny released, but it was like, people have medical equipment that like oxygen, you know, and like medical equipment that they need to plug in their house, and they have to go to like the Starbucks to do it because they don't have reliable electricity at home. Like that should not be privatized, you know? People, this is kind of the argument that Republicans made of like government needs to be smaller. Nobody is checking and making these private agencies, private companies accountable. You know, not the way that government is. If a government runs something that's inefficient, that shit will close.
Yep. I mean, imagine privatizing, you know, the fire department. It's like these things, there's a reason why you need standards and you need people to hold the people providing these services accountable. Mm-hmm. And they should not be subject to normal, like, business incentives. Mm-hmm. I don't know what people see about how capitalism works and things. Let's bring more of that into government.
Exactly. Because first of all, it is not capitalism. All these companies.
Socialism for the corporations.
Yeah, socialism for the corporations. Because all these companies get so many subsidies, so many public money to develop and to, you know, they use our roads, they use our school, you know what I mean? And so it's not even capitalism for them. But then, privatized fire departments, privatized, like, so it's literally poor people are left on their own and rich people. I guess the thing that's like not giving me comfort, but it's like, everyone lost power in Puerto Rico, not just the poor people, you know, and generators, you can't run those forever. Exactly. You need gas, you need something. So
I know one of the deaths, like this is what happens in these catastrophes, is that one of the deaths is not caused by the hurricane. It was caused by an accident with a generator. Mm. And just the margin for terrible catastrophic accidents when this continues to happen and the infrastructure is so bad. Something needs to change, and I hope people listen to like Puerto Ricans saying what they want and the people in Congress that are advocating for them. Another huge headline today. Yesterday, a Baltimore judge overturned the murder conviction of Adnan Syed, who was accused of killing Haman Lee in 1999. Adnan is 41 today. He's been in prison for 23 years. So I want to be really careful and recognize dead women as entertainment value is terrible. And I think Serial probably helped play a role in the genre becoming even bigger. And so whenever we talk about Adnan Syed and we talk about Serial, I think it's so important to always make sure you're saying Haman Lee. And this is a hard time for her family. These multiple families were failed by what happened here. But somebody murdered Haman Lee, and the family may never know exactly mm-hmm. who because of the botched things here. But this case did become very, very popular because of Serial in 2014. Did you guys listen to it?
Yes. Oh, like yeah. Religiously.
We were getting up first thing in the morning.
Yeah. Yes.
On the way to work.
What a time.
It was so interesting today to just think back to that and to also like even I listened to the Sarah Koenig update today and as soon as I heard the theme song.
Yeah, there is. I need to listen.
Oh yeah, there's like a 16-minute update and to hear the theme song and go into her voice again, it really did put you back in a place in time. Like remember the male
Mailchimp.
Mailchimp.
Oh no. Yes.
I will say like as a super comedy nugget, Zach Cherry, who is in Severance, he's one mm-hmm. of our friends. He's in Severance. He's gonna do the American Bake Off. Him and his yeah. friends made a fake cereal. Like it might be on the thing.
It was so funny.
It was like yeah, they made it as I think Zach was like the Best Buy employee yeah. who was like. Yeah, we sell CDs and DVD, like literally nothing to do with the case, but it's really funny.
And again, these podcasts are now a dime a dozen.
Yes.
A dime, mm-hmm. a dime, several dozen.
Mm-hmm.
There are entire-
There's like, conventions.
There's conventions. True crime conventions. There's entire podcast networks dedicated to them. And forgive me if Serial was not the first, but it was so popular.
It was the one that popularized it.
A lot of people's yeah. first introduction. And so I think like- It's been also a very long time since, because that was also sort of like before social media, before I let myself get so distracted and it was like easier to really fixate on one thing. I was like, I can't remember a news article about the chip spill I read yesterday, but I fucking remember that's the issues with that cell phone tower data. Mm. I remember that.
Or like even like the questions that I posed.
Yep.
I just find it so interesting that I was trying to remember a time when everyone has listened to something like that again. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's ever with a podcast.
You don't mean every day when the show comes out?
I mean, apart from
our podcast. Talking about the Betches.
The millions and millions of downloads daily for this podcast.
I'm sorry.
Aside from that, I don't know if another podcast has ever hit that, like, everyone is listening to this. And I think it's so interesting because it lived in this world where, like, it is political in that, like, obviously, like, Islamophobia came up, policing mm-hmm. issues came up, all sorts of things, but it wasn't overtly, like, a political thing. So truly anyone could listen to it and get enraptured in the whole case and get involved. I know personally a lot of people who said it was literally the first podcast they ever really listened to. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to like overstate how huge of a thing it was and how big of an impact it had.
Yeah, for our Gen Z listeners who maybe didn't experience that, it is hard to believe that like that was like people had never opened the Apple Podcast app and then like people – I would get up super early on Thursdays to listen to it before work because everybody would be talking about it. And yeah, it's interesting yeah. because – And again, I'm trying to, you know, kind of like think about how I consume that and what was problematic about it. But I don't know if everybody was like, oh, my God, criminal justice is crazy. It was more entertaining. It was just sort of like the story about it was crazy. And then I think it introduced more people into how frequently that happens. Mm-hmm. And now obviously we have it's very easy to find podcasts about people who don't deserve to be in prison. Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting for this to be sort of like an 8-year saga. And obviously the whole time Adnan has been sitting in prison. It's just to think of his voice on that podcast and to know he's now 41.
Yeah. It's also like, again, one of those things. It was one of the first, I mean, besides like examples in my like real life, but it's like somebody with a platform recognizing and seeing. I mean, I guess the thing that it gets criticized for later is that Sarah didn't understand or was learning about the injustices of the criminal yeah. justice system in this country and like how corrupt it is and how not okay. And like, actually, I think in later seasons, maybe it was season 2 of Serial where it was just like she was in a court, like a courthouse for a year and just followed the cases and stuff. And it was basically like Serial, like that case, the murder of Haymon Lee was not necessarily a phenomenon like people will like even in the best case scenario if somebody gets arrested it's still and they get like they don't even get convicted they drop the charges or plea deal or something like it's so expensive and it's so, you know, and that's what I learned from season two and like took me on this journey to where like, yeah, like it, I feel like a lot of people were questioning what happened, you know, with like how that wasn't a phenomenon. And another thing for me, which I do feel like Serial brought in this new true crime genre, but I think since then we've all had a lot of conversations about what it means to exploit a murder or what does it mean to the victim's family. Like, I don't know in this 16-minute update, I doubt it, but like Heyman Lee's family was very adamant about not getting involved. Nobody, like not a cousin, not a distant family member, not like they have said nothing, you know, about. So
yeah, no, they I mean, they Heyman Lee's family is acknowledged and discussed in the update, but that has not changed. That position has not changed. They do not want to dredge anything all to this do with up. This.
Yeah. Yeah. So exactly. So I think for me, during Serial, like the most kind of uncomfortable moment for me that I will remember for the rest of my life is hearing like Sarah read Heyman Lee's diary about like their prom dance and play the music. And I was like, Jesus, like this girl got murdered twice.
Yeah.
Like she was already murdered brutally and it was really fucked up, but like, now we're hearing her talk about like her prom date, like
diary.
In her diary.
It's like, so shocking that I don't remember that. I was like, I heard that and didn't, and I kept listening.
Yeah, there no, were I mean,
lots for, of really problematic parts of it.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, like because I'm just imagining them reading my diary and like out loud to like millions of people after I die. Like, oh You've god, that's so embarrassing.
And I think there were also things that this can happen in any type of coverage of an unsolved case. But there was just certain positioning of potential alternate suspects that made those people feel scared in their communities. Mm. Like people just Reddit threads about why this person did it. And it's like law enforcement is not involved. I think I don't remember hearing about any vigilante. Like we're going to go. It was. I can't remember the details, but it was a black guy. That
yeah,
was like,
yeah.
And they continued. The TV show also really connected him to it and made it seem like
Jay.
He was the one. Jay, yes. Which
yes.
It just doesn't seem like something that casual journalists and armchair detectives need to be talking about. So, you know, despite how that case evolved and what suspects there might be now, at the time, it did not feel appropriate to like bring up this random young man.
Yeah.
But again, like I think that true crime podcasts are a lot more careful now, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Mariah Smith, for podcasts, I'm going to like get the actual info, but she did a whole, like there's a whole mini series about true crime and like dissecting it and like different cases and like the morality around it, which I think is really good. And like, why are people so fascinated by it? And like, really the first, like, which is really interesting, but the first major true crime case was the OJ case that really got a lot of people thinking. So like this case is monumental the way that OJ was.
Yeah, when things are missing answers is when they seem to enter this well, territory.
I mean, OJ killed her. So.
Well, that's for sure.
allegedly, whatever.
So a little bit more background about like what specifically happened here and what might happen next, because it's just important to note that like this isn't a full exoneration. Judge Melissa Finn of Baltimore City Circuit Court vacated the conviction in the interest of justice and fairness, she said, finding that the prosecutors had failed to turn over evidence that could have helped Mr. Syed at trial and ultimately discovered new evidence that could have affected the outcome of his case. And if you've listened to I think that evidence has been around for a decade now, but more has since been unearthed. Obviously, there's like so much. As soon as this podcast came out, people started sharing more information. Serial came out, as I said, in 2014 and was also the subject of an HBO series. This decision comes after a year-long investigation with the prosecutors and Adnan's lawyer that identified, like I said, two potential alternative suspects. And of course, the investigation also identified, quote, significant reliability issues regarding Serial's signal pieces of evidence, something that is like a real focus in the podcast, which is like, what's the deal with the cell phone tower data? It does not make sense. The state says this does not mean that they think Adnan is innocent. Prosecutors are also reportedly waiting on some DNA evidence that might determine whether the charges are completely dropped or if they're going to pursue another trial. But that's some information we're going to get pretty soon. So it seems like they're deciding if they have enough evidence that Adnan Syed absolutely did not commit this crime or if the trial itself was pretty bad, but there's enough, they believe they have evidence to to try again. And as I said at the beginning, this is just the reason I keep saying, like, the state doesn't say this doesn't mean he's do it is just sort of out of respect for Heyman Lee's family. Obviously, if you listen to the podcast, it seems pretty clear that Adnan had nothing to do with this. But this has been a really rough week for Heyman Lee's family.
Isn't that clear? there was episodes I walked away. I'm like, oh no.
That's true. There was an episode of the HBO series where I was like, I don't know. But the point is, significant gaps in this country. The way this country works is innocent until proven guilty, no matter how it affects the family of the victim. Unfortunately,
I remember walking away from the podcast and not actually feeling 100% clear on. I was leaning towards that. I did not think that he did it, but I do remember being like. But the prosecutorial misconduct and this man was not given a fair trial. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that means his conviction gets overturned. Yeah. Like that is how our system works. And an overturned conviction for someone, that is the incentive for prosecutors to do their job properly. So we have to overturn ill-begotten convictions regardless of whether the person... What sucks is that it's regardless of whether the person actually did it. If you are the prosecutor and you fuck up at trial and you don't come correct and you don't give the defense the evidence that you're supposed to be giving them and you don't pursue the things you're supposed to be doing and you misrepresent shit, then your conviction might get overturned. And so that is like the incentive for them to do their job. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. It sucks. But it's how it works.
And I think it's important for Adnan to reiterate that this isn't the end of the process, too, because I don't want people to think, oh, he's just out now. Like I said, the state is going to decide if they think there's still a chance that he's one of their suspects and they want to try to prove again that he did it, or if they've decided we don't have the evidence. Alternatively, are they going to pursue those other suspects? Like I said, like this can't be the end. The family has spoken, not on Cyril or anything, but they apparently asked for this to be postponed, and that was not granted. The judge was like, this is a matter of, you know, a potentially innocent man being in prison. We have to let him go once this decision is made. But her brother told the court, this is not a podcast for me. This is real life, a never-ending nightmare for 20-plus years. So the outcome of this prosecution has been a failure. They've had to watch their sister and daughter's murder used as entertainment. They have had, you know, Adnan definitely has a hero sheen sometimes that can be really hard to watch if you're not convinced, if you don't know what happened that day. It's just a natural reaction. So, you know, it's just this headline yesterday, there's so many mixed emotions. It's just, now that you're talking about that, I remember the thing that really struck everyone about the podcast was just, it was a lot of people's first understanding that somebody might not be very clearly innocent, but that's not how it works. I think it was a lot of people's like first interaction with that. Big news week.
I think
it was a heavy one, so I have to throw in this light one. Did you guys see what Herschel Walker said about his upcoming debate against Rafael?
No.
Yes.
No.
Herschel Walker said that he might embarrass himself because he's just not that smart.
He said, he's like,
respect.
Yeah.
Absolutely respect.
He agreed to a debate and said that
he'll
do his best. Reminder, this is a man who got hit in the head for a living for most of his career and is now.
I mean, that's how I walked into every test in my life. I might embarrass myself. I'm not that smart, but I'm here.
That's how I failed the AP test twice.
Which one?
English. No, but I didn't fail. I just didn't pass.
At least before we wrap, do you remember the name of the organization that you put in the newsletter? If not, I'll just put it on stories. But there's specific.
I believe. Let me just look it up right now. Give me one second.
DR too, because there's obviously without food and water, without electricity and water, you can't get a lot of basics.
Taller Salud, TALLERSALUD. Their socials are in Spanish, but they have, they're like a feminist grassroots organization that's in Puerto Rico. You can go get an English version of their website, read a little more about them if you want. They're taking direct donations on PayPal, and then also, I'm not exactly sure how this works, but they are taking like donations of like stuff. So like water, food, that kind of stuff. So I would say look up Taller Salud.
Okay. And right. So you can throw a roll of paper towels all the way.
Yes.
From wherever you are.
Thank you, Trump.
To help turn the lights back on in Puerto Rico.
I was just remembering how fucking gross and disgusting that was. And then, not to bring it back down right before we end, but then to look at how Ron DeSantis is treating immigrants today, it's like, you see, there's a direct line between Trump fucking throwing paper towels at people in a disaster zone and this bullshit that we're seeing today.
I mean,
happy Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yeah, if you're Latino and you still in confidence can vote for a Republican.
Yeah. My building is all, like I've said this before, my building's very old. My building's all like crusty old people. And there's just, you know, there's like, there's a rotating kind of like billboard, like virtual billboard. And just all month, it just says Happy Hispanic Heritage Month. Oh my God. It's like, there's like, nobody has walked through this door in 6 hours with melanin, but that's nice.
Yeah. Well, listen.
What are you doing, building?
You know, let's
at least
know.
They're not doing a Ron DeSantis or a
it's better than that.
They're sending more planes. They're going to send one to Delaware.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
They're sending one to Delaware.
Also, did you know they even flew people to Kamala Harris's front door? That like
they're doing that. They're doing so. Somebody's been tracking because you can track the same. The same. Listen, it was not just to harass Taylor Swift or Kylie Jenner or other celebrities. They're using it to track these planes that have these immigrants in it. And yes, last night they reported, or this morning that they reported, that they're, you know, there's one small plane going to Delaware. They're doing like to the town where Joe Biden's from. Like it is like a
Wilmington.
Yeah, like it is like a fuck you to Democrats.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yeah. We'll compile those and share them on Thursday. That's our show for now. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
This is the Better Sub Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.